I want to talk to you today about home. I have lived in a lot of different houses, and every one of them has been my home. Because your home is where your treasure is. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. When you're at home, I pray that your treasure is there and that your heart is there. I've lived in places that were meek and kind of simple with my family, and I've lived in places that were, by the world standards, pretty nice. And all of them were my home. I remember Mama, after we built the house in Mississippi, built it there for Sonia and I and the kids to live, and I was going to retire there and die in that house, I thought. And I've lived in, let's see, 1, 2, 3, at least 3 other houses since then. No, 4. Maybe more. Since that time. But you know what? Each one of them, even that little bitty apartment that we lived in for about, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks, with boxes piled up in the kitchen, no television, not really much of a radio. Even that was my home. It was my home because my family was there. My children were there. And love was there. And my heart was there. I've been to different places on my trips to Africa, around the world, halfway around the world. And it has not, I mean, even though I love them extremely and love them very much, that's not my home. That's not where I dwell. Our home is a place where our heart is. You know what Naomi said? You remember who Naomi was, don't you? She was the sister that left because of a famine in the land. She was Ruth's mother-in-law. And she had a husband called Elimelech. You know the story of Ruth. This is Ruth's mother-in-law. And there was a famine in the land, and she left her home. And she went to a place, really, where her heart was not. She went to a place that wasn't godly. She went down to the land of Moab. And she got in a lot of trouble there, or had a lot of trouble. Her husband died. and her two sons died. She had nothing left at that place. And I say that that was never her home because her heart was never there. And I'm going to tell you that this says that in verse, when she came back after all that, Ruth told her, you know, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to dwell where you dwell. Your people are going to be my people. You see, she was dwelling in a land of people that weren't her people. She didn't have any relatives down there. She went, left the land of Judah and went down where all of God's people are. And she went to where ungodly people were in the land of Moab. And she came back with nothing. And she says, so they too, in verse 19 of chapter 1 of Ruth, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. I mean, everybody came out to see who this was coming back home. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Mara means bitter. She was a bitter old woman. And I take this to mean, if you dwell in a place where your heart is not, you're going to return home bitter. You're going to come home bitter. You're going to be worse for the wear. That means that you're going to have a hard time where you're not supposed to be. I'm not saying that where you're supposed to be is going to be grand and glorious all the time, but certainly if you're at a place where your home, where your heart is not, where your treasure is not, you're going to end up being bitter. She says, don't call me Mara. I mean, call me Mara. Don't call me Naomi. She says, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. You see, she wasn't at her home the whole time that she was down there in the land of Moab, which is a place of sin. It's a place of sin. It represents sin in the Scriptures. She vexed her soul daily just like Lot did when he lived in down there in Sodom, in Gomorrah. He vexed his righteous soul daily while he lived there. And I'll submit to you that that wasn't Lot's home either. But he dwelt there. His house was down there, but his home was not there. Do you know how inconsistent it is for you to dwell in a place that's not your home? Hard. Hard. I remember Mama telling me when Daddy moved her all the way from Mississippi, all the way up to New Jersey, to pastor a little flock of people up there. She said she cried for months. Because she wasn't at home. But you know what? The more she got to know the people up there, the more she loved them. That became her home. Until her heart left. She said, I'm going back. Going back home. To where my people are. Her heart wasn't in it no more. Naomi said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty's hand has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So I want to talk about some things that it feels like, and maybe a few different homes. I've talked about my home, talked about Mama coming back home, Naomi coming back home. We got a lot of homes that we have represented in this church this morning. And when you're gone from home for an extended period of time, you get homesick, don't you? I get homesick. When I'm gone from Sonia, especially when I'm going to Africa for a couple weeks, I get bad homesick. I remember one time when I was fishing So I'm going to talk to the kids for a little while today. I was fishing on the creek bank up in the mountains with Randy. This was right after Hannah and his son Caleb had been born. And we sat down on the rock on the second day. Normally we'd stay 4 or 5 days up there. We sat down on the rock the second day, just taking a break. And we started talking about our family. We started talking about our kids. And you know what we did? We sat there and squalled on the side of the rock, and we couldn't fish no more. We came back home. We just left early from our trip and came back home because we missed them. Got homesick. Got homesick. You know what the Lord said in Luke? He says that as far as being home, he said that, where's that at? I'm using a different Bible today, y'all. Bear with me for a second. What did the Lord say about the lost sheep? Yeah, verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he come home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. Where did he return to? He returned home. He went out in the wilderness and got that lost sheep, picked him up, brought him home. And he called everybody else and said, rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. Because I found that sheep which was lost, and I brought him home. So, what does all this mean? As it is when I am gone from my natural home that I dwell in my natural life with my natural family, I'm homesick when I'm not there. And in the same manner, I think when Jesus is talking about the lost sheep, he's talking about one that goes away from where their home is on this earth, where they dwell with other members of their family, the family and household of God. I think he's talking about the church. I think he's talking about that home, dwelling place that where God meets us in this life, and it is the church. And he's using that to describe the sheep and the lost sheep and coming back home, talking about those that are out in the wilderness. And he talks about right after this, he talks about the son that was a prodigal son, and he left his father's house and he went out into the world and he did all that stuff, and then he came back. He's talking about following Christ and following Christ among the other sheep, among the other believers, among the other brethren and sisters of God. So in this life, we got a home. We got more than one home. We've got at least three. We've got our home with our natural family. When we're away from that, we're homesick. And we've got a home in the church where we dwell with our brothers and sisters and our husband and our father. Jesus Christ being our husband, and God being our Father. We've got a home here. This is our home. And while we're here, we need to be rejoicing with one another that all the sheep are here. Well, I don't guess we can say all of them are here, because we got a couple that live in Memphis. Sister Phoenix lives in Memphis. Holly lives in Memphis. So they're not here. Sister Omega, she's down the road. Brother Howard's not here. And we certainly need to reach out to them, don't we? I haven't been very good at that. May God help us all. But we got a home in this church. And part of, that's the way God set it up. That this is the place where we live while we're waiting for what? Well, we're waiting on the Lord to come. Where's He going to take us? Where's He going to take us? He's going to take us home. I told y'all I was going to talk to the kids for a little while. I want to talk about baseball for a minute. Sonia already knows what I'm going to say. I'm going to talk about baseball. I never really did like to be in the field. I like to bat. I mean, I didn't mind playing in the field, but I'd rather bat. Every boy wants to bat. He wants to get up and he wants to hit the ball. And he wants to get on base. But he don't want to stay on base, does he? He doesn't want to get stranded, what they call it, stranded on base, do they? Where you get three outs and you're on first, you know, and you have to walk across and go into the dugout. That's not the object, is it? Man, when I was on base, I would make a good hit, and I thought, all right, I got a chance to help the team. I got on first, and boy, I was watching. I was watching that next batter, And as soon as he hit that ball, boy, I'd be ready to go. I'd be so ready to go, I'd take a little bit farther step than I needed to try to get on and get there to the next base. And what was the batter's object? His object was to get me around. Make me advance. Help me advance. I never was a fast runner, so I didn't steal many bases. As soon as he hit that ball, I'd take off. And I'd run and run and run as fast as I could. Sometimes I'd slide, sometimes I'd just bowl them over. Kind of mixing football with baseball. And whenever I was on first, I wouldn't have all that much hope, really, of making it home. See, because the hitters behind me weren't all that good. But when I got to second, I'd think, man, it could happen. All I need is one good outfield hit and I'll be making it home. And when I got to third, all I got is just about 50 feet to go. It's more real now. I can see it. It's right there. All I need is a little bunt. And I think I can beat it. Little children, I want y'all to advance in your base running. I want you to always be ready to steal. I want you to be ready whenever there's a hit to run on. And I always want you to remember that the goal is to get home. The goal is to get home. While you run, you got to be patient. We had a boy play baseball on the team that I coached. He didn't know a whole lot about baseball. But you know, I want to run my race with patience, kind of like him. Son, you might remember him. I'm sure she does. He had never played baseball before. And he got up there. And when he got a hit, which wasn't all that often, when he got a hit, he wouldn't stop at first. He just kept on running. I mean, he didn't care where the ball was or what they were doing. He just kept on running. And I can't tell you how many times that boy got all the way around to third and we'd almost physically have to stop him. The outfielders didn't know what to do because they didn't. That wasn't the way that you normally played baseball. You know, you're supposed to run and if the guy caught the ball, you're supposed to stop. But no, he made them throw. He made them, and them boys didn't know what, and they would throw it and it would be so, what is he doing? That they'd miss the ball and he'd keep going and he kept on running. And you know, he scored a bunch of times doing that. Not really worried about the stuff going on out. He's worried about the goal. He said, man, the goal is to go home. I'm going home. And he didn't let what was happening around him stop. He kept on going with a single vision to that next step, to the next base. And then, man, when he hit home, he got up and he used to jump up and down. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. I don't know that he ran it so much with patience, but boy, he sure did run it with a singleness of vision. I want to run my race like that. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've run my course with joy. He said, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He's talking about going home. Oh, my teams weren't all that great when we played baseball. But they rejoiced in their small victories. Don't forget to rejoice in your small victories. And remember that when this race down here is run, we're going to be taken home. We're going to be taken home. He's going to come. He's going to get us. I've been a lot of times in my life when I wished I could snap my fingers and be home. I've been in a lot of trouble sometimes. I was out in them same mountains. I got down there and the flood came up. It's probably one of the few times that I feared for my life. For real. And all I wanted to be home so bad. I had to walk up. When we walked down, the water was mid-calf. And when we walked back, it was waist-deep, rushing. No way to get on the side of the mountain. Had to wade back upstream. It's dangerous. I said, oh, I wish I was home. Chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. Solomon says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows will be darkened. He's talking about your eyes. Talking about your teeth. Talking about your muscles. Your bones. Talking about what it's like to get old. And the doors shall be shut in the streets. When the sound of grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Talking about your hearing going, maybe your voice going. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high. You know, the older we get, the more we don't like to go up steps, because it's high. we might fall. And fears shall be in the way. And the almond tree shall flourish. Talking about the hair being white. The grasshopper shall be a burden. And desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home. And the mourners go about the streets. What is he saying? He's saying old age is inevitable for us. Unless we're taken home early. But the whole point is to remember the Lord while you're young, and follow Him while you're young. Enjoy your home while you're young. Because the day's going to come when you won't be able to come to church and be with your brothers and sisters. Enjoy it while you're young, because the time will pass so fast, won't it? It'll pass fast. I can tell you time's passing fast, because it just seemed like yesterday I held Hannah in my arms for the first time. And now, a week later, it seemed like she's graduated and working at a hospital. Time, what an empty vapor it is. Swift as an Indian arrow flies, or like a shooting star, the song said. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And come home to the church while you wait for the Lord to take you home all the way to be with Him forever. The doors of the church are open for reception of members to have a home in this church with these brothers and sisters that gather here. May the Lord bless you this week.